Kids, here's the question I would ask you. What do you do if someone says that you did something that you didn't do? What would you do, Dominic? What would you do? Somebody says you hit your little sister, but you didn't hit your little sister this time. Just go along with it and take the punishment. Well, open your Bibles to Psalm 7 and see what you can learn from David. You know, in part, Dominic, you have a point there. You're going to see in Psalm 7 that David says, look, if I did it, then I'll take the punishment. But he was so sure that he didn't do it that he asked God to rise up, to deliver him, and to come to his defense. Psalm 7 is a meditation of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush, a Benjamite. Psalm 7 begins this way. O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is iniquity in my hands, if I have repaid evil to him who was at peace with me, or have plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue me and overtake me. Yes, let him trample my life to the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemies. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded, so the congregation of the peoples shall surround you. For their sakes, therefore, return on high. The Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. My defense is of God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he does not turn back, he, God, will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. He also prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows into fiery shafts. Behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it out and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. You wouldn't know it by the last verse, but by all the verses except the last, you would know it. David was suffering. David was suffering. Someone was slandering him. Someone was seeking to destroy his reputation and his position as a shepherd of God's people. He was suffering. And yet, he was singing. He was singing. This psalm is a meditation of David, which he sang to the Lord. Spurgeon says, oh, may it be that we could all turn every bitter occasion into an opportunity for singing. It's a meditation of David, if you look at the inscription, which he sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush, a Benjamite. We don't know anything about Cush other than what we can learn from this psalm. And from the context, it's very clear Cush was his enemy. Ever had one of those? I mean, you have one. Satan is your enemy, but perhaps you've had an enemy named Billy, or Ricky, or Cush. And it's no cushy thing to have an enemy named Cush, according to David's psalm. Cush was an enemy, and apparently Cush was making false accusations about David, saying that David had done things, bad things, which he didn't do. You say, well, why would Cush do such a thing? We don't know. Maybe Cush was being pushed. Maybe he was being pressured by someone above him. Maybe he was being paid. You know, Saul had his henchmen. Absalom probably had his. Very possible that Cush was employed by those above him to bring false accusations against David in order to dethrone him. Maybe he was part of that conspiracy by David's own son to oust David so that Absalom could reign in his place. We don't know, but what we do know is this. David was under attack. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been under attack? This morning. By the kids. But I mean, really, have you ever had someone who was seeking to destroy your reputation, to drag your name in the mud? Somebody who has said that you did things you didn't do. Or maybe they say that you failed to do things, but actually you did them, and they were good things. Have you ever been persecuted? Have you ever been slandered? What do you do when that happens? Well, you know what David did? I like what he did. David took his case straight to the Supreme Court. I mean, why mess around, right? He took his case straight to the top. He took his case to the Lord. And you know how he came out of it? He came out rejoicing and praising God. And the Spirit of God shows us that here. You know, the Bible says that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer what? Persecution. So if you desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, if you desire to live for Him, to live a holy and righteous life in your school, in your university, at home, at work, in your community, if you're going to stand up for the truth and speak the truth, you will suffer persecution. There will be people who will slander you. The question is, what do you do? And the Spirit shows us here that when someone persecutes you, the godly thing to do is to take your case to the Lord. That's it. But to be more specific, what does that look like? I mean, if you take your case to the Lord, what does that look like? What would you do? And the Spirit shows us here four simple steps that David took when he was slandered to take his case to the Lord. And every one of these steps is going to sound familiar to you, because these are biblical things that the godly do when they are slandered. Number one, put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. Very simple, verse 1. O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Notice it says, in you I put my trust. That means in you and you alone. I'm not putting my trust in me. I'm not putting my trust in man. I'm not going out to hire an attorney because I'm not looking for money. Put your trust in the Lord. Means don't take matters into your own hands. Don't seek your own revenge. Don't go out and try to put your trust in man, because cursed is the man who puts his trust in man, the Bible says. You don't need a lawyer. You need the Lord if you're being slandered. He knows your situation. He knows how to deal with it. And he will in his timing and in his way. So put your trust in the Lord. Second, let all your requests be made known. Does that sound familiar? The first one, of course, should sound familiar. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in all your situations, in all your ways in life, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. The second thing to do is let all your requests be made known. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what David is doing in verses 1 to 10. He is letting his requests be made known to God. And he basically had four requests. Save me, but don't save me if I've done this thing, but save me. And let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. That's his four requests. The first one is, save me. verses 1 and 2. O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver. You know, David used to be a shepherd. I think he knew what it would be, what a nightmare it would be for a sheep to be attacked by a lion and to be ripped to shreds with no shepherd around to deliver. That's the imagery he uses here. You remember David once delivered a sheep himself from a lion and from a bear. Now he feels like he's the prey, or about to be. And David is using this vivid imagery to portray what? To portray slander, persecution. It hurts when people falsely accuse you. Have you ever been there? I mean, I have, and it hurts. I didn't do that. But they say you did. But I didn't. So David says, Lord, save me, lest they rip me to shreds like a lion rips to shred its prey. David didn't want to be lion food, and neither do you. So what should you do? Put your trust in the Lord and let your request be made known. His first one was, save me. His second one was, well, but don't save me if I've done what they say. Don't save me if I've done this. Listen to what he says in verses 3 to 5. And believe me, you'd only pray this way if you were innocent. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is iniquity in my hands, if I have repaid evil to him who was at peace with me, or have plundered my enemy without cause, those were the charges, right? These are the false charges. There's iniquity in his hands. That guy's a sinner. He's repaid evil to me. I was at peace with him. I did nothing to provoke this. He's done wrong. He's plundered me. He stole my stuff. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been accused of stealing something. I was one time asked, hey, did you return to me that book that you borrowed? And I was sure that I had. And I said, yes, but I felt terrible just that he might think that I didn't return it. But I had. And he wasn't accusing me. But just the thought that maybe he'd have the thought that I stole his book. David says, if I've done that, look what he says in verse 5. Then let the enemy pursue me and overtake me like an army, right? First he pictured the enemy like a lion. Now he pictures the enemy like an army. Let him pursue me and overtake me. Let him trample my life to the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Selah or Selah. Think about that. Why would David pray like this? What is he communicating to God? He's saying, first of all, Lord, I know you're the judge, not me. I would judge me as innocent, but Lord, you be the judge. Second of all, he's saying, Lord, I take these charges seriously. And beloved, if anyone ever accuses you of something, don't take that lightly. You should stop and think, is there any truth in what they say? Because there may be. He's saying, Lord, you're the judge. I take these charges very seriously. You look and see, and if I've done what they say, then I'm not asking you to deliver me. You know what, Lord? Let him trample my life to the earth and lay my honor in the dust. I am not deserving that anyone should honor me ever again if I've done what they say. That is bold praying. And that's the way we're called to pray. Therefore, let us come boldly, right? Boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find grace to help in time of need. David is praying very boldly. You know, his first prayer request was, save me. His second one was, but don't if I've done this. But his third is basically, save me. Stand up for me, God. Stand with me. Be on my side. Verses 6 to 8. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemies. And David pictures his enemies now as a raging, roaring sea that want to extend beyond their bounds. Lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemies. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded. Verse 6. Well, what was the judgment God commanded concerning David? It was that he would be king in Israel. That was what God commanded concerning David. That David would shepherd this flock of God. And David is saying, Lord, I believe you called me to be shepherd of this flock of yours. So rise up for me, stand up for me, for the judgment you have commanded. Why does he say that? Because all of his enemies were seeking to destroy him as the shepherd of Israel and bring him down. And the result of the enemy rising up against David is that the sheep were scattered. David wanted to see them back together again to the Lord. So he says, Lord, rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded. Verse 7, so the congregation of the people shall surround you. For their sakes, therefore, return on high. Lord, if you deliver me, the people are going to be gathered again to you. We're going to worship you. We'll bring our cases to you. You'll be our judge and our king. So do this for the sake of your people. There's a way to get God's heart. Don't pray just for your sake. If you're slandered, if you're persecuted, pray for the sake of the people around you. Lord, don't let them continue to persecute me. This is hurting my family. Lord, don't let them continue to slander me. This is hurting the church. Lord, don't let them continue to persecute me. This is hurting our testimony for Christ. Do you think David believed that God would return on high and judge? Of course, he prayed in faith. That's the only way to pray. Verse 8, the Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me. What is he saying there? He's not saying, you know how righteous I am, God. Surely you're going to judge me as a righteous man. No, he's saying, you, Lord, see everything. You look at the righteousness within me. You look at my integrity. And by the way, righteousness in the Old Testament and in the New is a righteousness by faith. David is saying, you know, Lord, my trust is in you, and I haven't departed from trusting in you, but you look inside me, and you judge me according to the integrity that you see in my life. What is integrity? It's when you seek to please the Lord in every aspect of life. And you know what? If you're seeking to please the Lord in every aspect of life, then if somebody slanders or persecutes you, you can pray this way. Lord, I've just been seeking to please you in every area of my life, so you look and you see, and you judge me according to the integrity within me. This is how you can pray if you're a woman of integrity, if you're a man of integrity, if you're a father of integrity, if you're a mother of integrity, if you're a child or a young person with integrity. Then somebody slanders or persecutes you, you bring your case to God. How do you do that? You put your trust in Him and you let your requests be made known. David's requests were, first of all, save me. Second of all, don't if I'm guilty. Third of all, save me. And fourth, I like this one the best. Verse 9. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. This is our hope, isn't it? I mean, isn't this our hope as Christians that one day all the wickedness of the wicked is finally going to end? David is saying, oh, let their persecution of innocent people, let their slander, let their false accusations, let their lies, let their traps, let it all come to an end. But establish the just. Establish means strengthen our faith. Make us firm. Make us rock solid. Establish, strengthen the just. And who are the just? Those who put their trust in the Lord. Establish us, God. Firm up our faith in you. But oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. You see what David is doing? He's just taking his case to the Lord. Why would you do that? I mean, if you were slandered, if you were being falsely accused, if your character was being defamed, why not go out and hire an attorney, you know, get the strong arm, get somebody on your side who's going to get you $250,000 to $7 million or somewhere in between and defame their character. I mean, hey, get your piece of the action. Fight fire with fire. Why not do that? Well, David gives us some reasons for why he took his case to God. Number one, reason for doing this. End of verse 9. For the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. That's why he took it to God. Because the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. What does that mean? It means God alone knows what's in every man's heart. Everything is naked and laid bare to him with whom we have to do. To him to whom we must give an account. Listen, God is the only one who really sees everything the way it truly is. There's a reason to take your case to God. He's the one who can judge with righteous judgment. He gives another reason in verse 10. My defense is of God who saves the upright in heart. You know, if your defense is of man, then sure. Hire an attorney, pay your money, see where you get. But don't expect your defense to come from God. But if your defense is of God, then go to God. Take your case to Him. Put your trust in Him. Because He saves the upright in heart. Who does He save? The ones who bring their case to Him. That's who He saves. He saves the ones that come to Him in faith and say, Lord, You know the situation. I cast all my care upon You. Another reason to take your case to the Lord if you're suffering because of some wicked woman or some wicked man or some wicked youth or who knows, is that God is a just judge and is angry with the wicked every day. Verse 11. God is a just judge and angry with the wicked every day. What does that tell you? Well, it tells you that if you're suffering because of the wickedness of the wicked, God's already mad at him. Even before you bring your case. He already knows what she's done to you. He already knows what that guy's saying about you. And he's already angry with him every day. You don't have to convince God. He already sees it and says, it's okay. I know what's going on here. All under control. I got this handled. Don't worry about it. And then David pictures God as a warrior ready to destroy. We're saying that David took his case to God, right? And we're saying, what does that look like? First, put your trust in Him, in the Lord. Second, let all your requests be made known. Third is meditate on the truth. That's what we see David doing here. Truth is God is a just judge. Truth is God is angry with the wicked every day. And the truth is, verse 12, if he, the wicked one, who is your enemy, if he does not turn back, if he does not repent of the evil that he's doing, slandering you, falsely accusing you, if he doesn't turn back, you know what's going to happen? God's going to destroy him or her. If he does not turn back, verse 12, he, God, will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. Now there is a frightening picture to ponder. Imagine God in heaven. You know, he doesn't have a little 45-pound compound bow. If you ever pulled back a compound bow, you know, they measure them in pound and everything. God has a billion-pound compound bow with an arrow that's as long as a streak of lightning. And this pictures God. The arrow is set. He's aimed. The bow is pulled back. And that arrow is directed at the heart of the wicked who's slandering you. And all God needs to go is... But he's not. Why not? Verse 12. If he doesn't turn back. God's waiting. Listen, God takes no pleasure in wickedness. Psalm 5 tells us that, right? Psalm 5:4, you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. But beloved, he also takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It does not please God to release that arrow. He can, and he will if the wicked doesn't turn back, but he takes no pleasure in that. Ezekiel 33:11, say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil way. Listen, you may be here this morning and maybe you're one of the wicked. Maybe you are guilty of slandering someone who's righteous. Maybe you have been guilty of slandering me behind my back. I hope not, but it's possible. I remember when I first got out of seminary, between the time that we were in Pennsylvania and headed off to Russia in the year 2000, we had a couple months there where we ministered in our home church. And I got a call one night at about midnight. I was asleep, but the phone woke me up, and I answered it, and Pastor Joe asked me to come to the church office. I said, well, when? He said, now. I said, well, it's midnight. He said, I know. Okay. So I went up there. And at 12:30, we had a little congregation, about 4 or 5 of us. I was simply there to witness Joe confronting 3 or 4 others who had been slandering him all week long in their Bible studies. The Bible studies somehow had turned to let's pick apart the pastor study or something. And so Joe was just saying, hey, is it true what I heard that this and this and this? Joe said, I just heard about this like at 11:30 tonight. And I decided before the Lord, I wasn't going to let this go any further. You know what? By the grace of God, they all confessed. They all turned from their slandering. They're still in that church to this day. That was back in the year 2000. 13 years later, they're still in that church. Their love for Joe is greater than it was back then. We have a merciful God, a great God, who can turn a slanderer from the evil of their ways, deliver both the slandered and the slanderer, and bring them together in one. Joe preached a message that next Sunday on Romans 3. Where it says, there's none righteous, no, not one. He said, I'm going to preach to you about who your pastor is apart from Christ. And he applied all those terms of sin to himself. Their throat is an open sepulcher. And he says, my throat is an open sepulcher apart from Christ. And he just applied it all to himself. David here is meditating on the truth about God, that he's a just judge. He's angry with the wicked every day. He will judge the wicked. Verse 13, he also prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows into fiery shafts. Listen, beloved, God has instruments to take care of what you're going through. And he'll take care of it in his timing. So when you suffer persecution, when you're slandered, when you're falsely accused, under attack, you take your case to the Supreme Court. And if you'll do it as David did here, it will cost you nothing. And it will gain you everything. Sadly, there are so many wicked who don't turn back, and David pictures them in verses 14 to 16. Behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it out. He has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return in his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. He's already pictured the enemy as a lion. Then he pictured the enemy as an army. Here he pictures the enemy as a pregnant woman giving birth to iniquity. They deliver iniquity. That's what comes out of them. Like a woman delivering babies. They deliver iniquity. And then he pictures him as a hunter. He made a pit and dug it out. But then he pictures the hunter as shooting himself in the foot, catching himself in his own trap. And he says his trouble will come back on his own head, his violent dealing on his own crown. Sin is like a boomerang. Sooner or later, it comes back to get you. But beloved, the fourth thing to do, after you're done taking your case to the Lord, you know what you do? You know, don't you? Verse 17, you just praise the Lord. You speak his praise and you sing his praise. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. What is David doing this whole psalm? He's singing all of this to God. I don't know the tune. I won't attempt it. But with some tune, David is saying, oh, Lord, my God. Now, I don't know what it was. And he's singing to God the whole thing. He's saying, I will speak praise and I will sing praise according to his righteousness. And you know what his righteousness is? That's the gospel in two words, his righteousness. In the righteousness of God, although everyone, every human being on the face of the planet is deserving of God's righteous judgment, God in his righteousness has made a way of escape. How'd he do it? By sending his only begotten son to come into this world, live a perfect life, and then sacrifice his life on the cross for us. And everyone who takes refuge in him, in the Son of God, is blessed. End of Psalm 2, right? Blessed is everyone who takes refuge in the Son of God. And every psalm since then has been showing David taking refuge in the Son. When he's slandered, when he's in trouble, when he's hurt, when he's depressed, when he's down, he just keeps taking refuge in the Son of God, according to Psalm 2. And every time, he comes out of the psalm blessed. Listen, beloved. When and if you are slandered, when and if you are persecuted, when and if you are spoken against, here's what you do. You just take your case to the Lord. Put your trust in him. Let all your requests be made known. Meditate on the truth. and come up praising. And if you do that, you will be delivered. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and for this psalm. We thank you, God, for this flock. I thank you for the privilege to be one of the shepherds in this flock together with Pastor Jerry and Pastor Dan. And God, keep us from slander. Keep us from any who might slander us. God, I just pray that you'd keep us united as we are. We praise you for the sweet unity that we're enjoying in this place. We ask, God, that you would deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.